Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. By Harry's, for guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. Just pay shipping. Start your free trial today at harrys.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, April 5th, 2017. Dale explains the secret of Ham Nation 300. Good evening, everybody, and welcome. We're all assembled tonight to talk about ham radio because you're watching and listening to Ham Nation, a great show on Leo Laporte's Twit Network. I'm Bob Heil. I'm in my station lab here in the Ozarks. And who all we got here? We got the Mississippi transmitter dude, George Thomas. George, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, Bob. And I've been doing some transmitter visits. Fortunately, I got through all these storms the other night without a single trip to a transmitter. I just stayed on the phone talking to them all night.
Bet. That's great. You got some things. We'll be back to you in just a minute. Good old smoke and solder. We got a thing from Randy tonight, so we'll be back to you in a minute. And Don, how are you doing down there in the lower part of Miss? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Showing a little love for my coworkers in New Orleans. The Weekend Geek radio show here. You can hear that on iHeartRadio from WRNO New Orleans. Good guys. They do that show right there from the studio in New Orleans. And if you're into Comic-Con and sci-fi and stuff like that, yeah, check out the Weekend Geek. I was just showing a little love for my buddies, Brian and David over there. So everything is great. We got Dr. T with us tonight. And this should be a good night. We've got an announcement from some weird hashtags that have been going around lately.
Okay, we'll be back to you soon. And we're going to switch it out to the West Coast, and we'll just one thing before I go, I just want to say we're going to be back later to talk about this, but we have a couple of huge announcements. Dale's going to be on with us to do that, and Amanda will be there to follow him. But we have been assigned a booth at Dayton, meaning Ham Nation and Newsline. It's going to be very cool this year. We'll be together in a booth of number 5305. We're in the fifth building, and I think it's in that same building where we are, where Heil Sound is too. So there we go, and everybody write it down. We'll be back later to talk more about that. But in the meantime, we have a whole bunch of shots from the master, Gordon West. How you doing, Gordo? Take it away.
All right. Thanks, Bob. And we're back from Nevada State Convention in Las Vegas, and it was a hit. And it was especially a hit because the wind was blowing like a mama, but everybody came and a good time was had by all. Well, tonight we're going to do a little Morse code as well, the letter N. And Brian, every time you hear the letter N, if you'll go ahead and go to the next shot. Well, that's our friend Dave, WZ6X. And Dave brought along all his military AM equipment. And we were up on the air this past weekend, the AM weekend, calling CQ. And, you know, Dave is quite a guy. And he had us on the air. We had a lot of two-way contacts between our stations and other visitors on AM 75 meters at the Las Vegas Ham Radio Convention. It was a great show. And we saw a lot of folks come up and talk about the whips, but one guy come up saying, someone stole my ham whip. Hey, no big deal. They're $18. Get a new one. We went out to his car, and we'll show you in a minute. Nobody stole it. And we talked about the ATAS from Yaesu. A lot of comments there that it'll work on other rigs as well with little electronic adapters. So that motorized antenna from Yaesu can play on different rigs. That's the Hi-Q antenna. Charlie and his brother are still making them up in Oregon. And that's a good one with a very high Q, as you can see by this spectrum scope monitor. And there, of course, is the Tar Heel antennas, probably the most popular of the HF whips. The Tar Heels are found everywhere. And usually on these larger HF whips, they put a capacity hat, but this capacity hat is too low. You got to get the capacity hat up. This one is very too low. Too low. That capacity hat needs to be up high. Nope, too low. In other words, you've got to get it at least a foot or so above the coil, or else the coil and the cap hat are just going to null out. So that's the proper way for a capacity hat on the HF tunable whips. Now, we understand, Don, that you are finding an Outbacker antenna, so he's getting his mobile all cleaned up, ready to bore a hole somewhere on that great vehicle. But, Don, I'm already ahead of you. I got more holes in the Gordo Black Wagon, and you can see the Outbacker and the Hi-Q on the rear bumpers. Should be up a little higher, but nonetheless, that's a goodie. If ever you find one of those antennas, folks, grab it, pay for it, and take it away, because the Outbackers, thanks to Don Arnold, are a big whip. Here's where the guy lost his antenna. No, nobody unscrewed it. This is a typical mount for lightweight HF whips. 3/8 24 on the top and an SO239 for a PL259. First of all, be sure and get that little white spacer properly oriented. This one is reversed. Notice the little dimple at the top. It is wrong. Should be pointing down to fit into the hole on the mount. And when you screw it down, there you go, properly mounted. Don't screw it down too tight, because the harder you screw it down, the more that brass 3/8 24 stud begins to pull out. Surprise, surprise. Guess what? When folks lose their whip on this kind of a mount, it's because the brass pulls out. They are simply swedged in. There is no hard contact, and you'll lose a good whip if you are not careful. You got a big whip on top, it's going to yank right out. This one with a spring on it, this is going to be a goner in no time. So remember, if you've got that mount like the one on the left, get the little white doodad, the spacer correctly positioned. Look at the right-hand one. Holy smoly, it's grounded out. No wonder this operator didn't have great reception. So there you go. Be very, very careful in that if you don't get them right, they'll fall right out. This is a professional way to do it. So, Brian, if you'll come on back, and for those copying the code, this is the letter N. The letter N. And here is that pesky little connection that if you're not careful, this little 3/8 24 stud is going to pop right out, and you've lost your HF whip. So that's your code training for today. And let's see, I'm going to turn it over to George. Hey, George, what are you doing down there?
Well, Gordo, I'm thinking about my antenna connectors right now, or my antenna mounts. I've got, my little Tar Heel is mounted with one of the diamond ones, so I think I'm probably safe on that one.
You're good.
I'm a little suspicious on the one I have on the other vehicle that I've got my Outbacker on, so I'm going to have to double-check that one. I don't think it's even brass, but I don't know. It looked an awful lot like what you were showing there. Well, we'll be back in just a moment, but first let's get a message from ICOM.
Get out and get mobile with ICOM this spring. Base stations, mobile transceivers, handhelds, and more, ICOM has all the equipment to help make your spring full of adventure. Communicate with the touch of your fingertips. Perfect for small spaces, the IC7100 is the ideal D-Star option to communicate anywhere. Angled control head and touchscreen for quick intuitive operation, large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multi-band and all-mode communications. Travel outdoor and enjoy the spring air. Back for a limited time, the IC7200 is a great option for hams wanting a rugged device to carry out into the field. Simple and tough with IFDSP, digital noise reduction, and a USB port for PC control. Ideal for the ham on the go, try the IC7300. It's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design, RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur and learn more about all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win some swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And we've got a winner for March. The prize was the ICOM ID 51A Plus 2 dual band, dual watch VHF, UHF handheld transceiver. Does analog and D-Star, built-in GPS receiver, DV and FM repeater list function, independent AM-FM receiver, and you can get a free Android app for it. The winner, Leanne, K1YKH. Congratulations, Leanne. ICOM will be getting that out to you. And they've got another one for April. No, this one is mine here, and I'm keeping it. But if you'd like to win an ID 51A plus 2, then go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation this month. Throw your name in the hat, doesn't cost anything, and you might win. While you're there, you can also drop a little note to ICOM and tell them that you like Ham Nation and what you like about it. Sign up. Good luck. Don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. Well, Randy has been back at it again with the soldering iron. You can almost smell the rosin from here. Let's see what he's building this week.
Hello, Randy, K7AGE. Been working on my BitX40 transmitter a little bit. One of the things that you really should have in your toolbox is a dummy load. So I've been using this 5-watt 50-ohm termination. It's a Tektronix part, and it has a heat sink. It's kind of nice, but I'm going to show you how you can build your own with a few resistors, a diode, and a capacitor, which will even allow you to measure your RF power. So I'm going to be doing is copying one of Elecraft's mini module kits. If we scroll down through this web page, we'll come to the DL1 wideband 20-watt dummy load. So let's look at it in a little more detail. I've opened up the instruction manual for the Elecraft dummy load, and just to let you know, this isn't some proprietary design that I'm ripping off and going to copy. The basics of this is pretty common. You can find examples around the internet. If you'd like to buy the nice board and the kit from Elecraft, it's about $26. So let's look at the schematic first here to see what this is. It uses 8 100-ohm, 3-watt metal film resistors. When you have 4 equal resistors in parallel, like we do on each side of the common here, the resultant resistance is 1/4 of that. So 4 100-ohm resistors in parallel is 25 ohms. So we have 25 on the right here of the common and 25 ohms on the left. We tap off at the center here at the 25-ohm position, go through the 1N5711 Schottky diode and a capacitor, and then our test points that we can hook up a meter. And this is what their kit looks like. Again, the BNC, the 8 power resistors, capacitor and diode, and a couple test points to connect the meter. And up at the beginning here is a formula. So power in watts equals to the voltage that you measure plus 0.25 volts, which is the voltage drop across the Schottky diode. So that combination of voltages added together, squared, and then divided by the 25-ohm resistance. Remember, we're measuring from the midpoint, not from the center pin of the BNC, will equal your power. So So these are the resistors that I bought for my project. 20 resistors. They're 3 watts. They're metal film resistors. I selected 100 ohms. They were $293, including free shipping. The Schottky diodes. I got 10 diodes for $1.48, and again, free shipping out of China. So here's all the parts for the project. I have my 8 100 ohm 3 watt resistors, my 1N5711 Schottky diode, my 0.01 microfarad capacitor, and my BNC. I have a little piece of perf board, has copper on one side, just plain phenolic on the other side. So I'm going to mount the BNC and run 2 rows of 4 resistors down through the holes here, and be a lot of point-to-point soldering on the back. Okay, so I have the BNC and the 8 resistors placed on the board. And one of the things that Elecraft recommends is to lift the resistors off the board, because these may get hot if you are transmitting for any length of time, and to keep from burning the board. And they say use something like a popsicle stick. Well, I have this DuPont connector header, and I can just slide that underneath these resistors to place them up off the board while I solder. I have the header underneath the resistors on this part of the board to space the resistors up off the board. So what I'm going to do first is just solder the leads to the pads, and that'll hold the resistors in, and then I'll bend the wires around and solder the resistors together. Okay, so I have all these now soldered so they're attached to the board. So what I've done here is just kind of bent the leads all over to kind of towards the centers. And now I'll just do some massive soldering. Connect these all together. Yeah, not very pretty, but it'll work. Okay, ready for some soldering. I've taken one of the leads and run them up here to the center pin for the BNC. So I'll connect the top of the resistors to that. And solder all these resistors together. Just kind of fill in where all these leads touch each other. And a big wad of leads here, so it'll take quite a bit of solder. And I do have my little fan running to blow the fumes away. And I'll do this last group. And we do a quick check here with the ohm meter. Go from the center pin to this top of the first group of resistors. And I should get basically 0 ohms. And to the midpoint, I should see 25 ohms. There's 25.2. And across the two banks, parallel resistors, there we go, 50.1. So as far as DC resistance, it looks good. I now have the resistor and capacitor mounted on the board here. So the anode end of the diode goes to the junction of the resistors. The cathode with the line goes towards the capacitor. And I'm now ready to solder here, so I'm soldering the diode to the resistors. I'm just putting a tack on the hole there to stabilize it. Here's the junction of the diode to the capacitor. And here's the other end of the capacitor goes up to the solder lug on the BNC. So I now have the wire connected from the ground lug of the BNC over to the bottom of the stack of resistors. I think I'm done. We can try and test it out. Okay, time to check out the dummy load board with a power measurement. What I have here is my FT817 running on 40 meters. I have a cable connected from the output of the radio to the transmitter jack on the back of the SWR meter. On the antenna connector, I have a second cable which goes around to the dummy load board. I have my digital voltmeter connected across the 2 test points to measure and the voltage. So let's try this at the 5-watt position on the FT817. There's nothing shown here in the bottom, so that means it's the full power. I have the power meter set on 20 watts, so when I key that up, I'm seeing just a hair over 6 watts on the meter and 10.48 volts. I enter 10.48 volts into a simple spreadsheet I've made, and it says I have 4.66 watts. So the board measures at 4.66, the meter measures at 6, and the radio should be in the 5-watt position. So there's a little bit of disparity there. Now let's check the SWR. So to do that, I go to calibrate on the function meter. And the way this works with an SWR meter, you go into the calibrate, you have a knob, and you adjust this for a full-scale reading. So I bring that up so it's full scale. And then you change the switch to SWR. And I can just barely see the meter moving. So that looks pretty good. So I think that about wraps it up for my QRP dummy load project. This is something that you can easily build. A few power resistors, a diode and a capacitor, a connector, and a little piece of board to mount it on. And you can have yourself a QRP dummy load with the ability to do power measurements. So thanks for watching. This is Randy, K7AGE.
Well, thanks for that, Randy. You know, everyone needs a dummy load. That's a good little simple project there. It makes a good first project, too, because it's easy to calculate out, decide what you need, get the resistors, a little practice soldering there. So if you've never done any soldering or building before, that's a perfect little example of a kit right there that could be useful to you and fun. Well, you know, last week I asked a question out of Gordo's new extra class study guide. It's actually Gordo and Eric P. Nichols, KL7AJ, helped out on it too. W5YI Publishing, I believe, is who has these, or you can find them anywhere. Anyway, the question I asked was, which of the following amateur bands most frequently provides long path propagation? Is it 20 meters, 80 meters, 10 meters, or 6 meters? Well, we had a winner on that, and it was Russell N3YI. Russell said, George, I think the answer to this week's question is 20 meters. I hope I'm right because my old eyes could sure use a clock that big on my night light table or my night table in the middle of the night, as well as in my shack. Well, Russell, you're in luck because we've got that MFJ 113 clock right here. Giant LED alarm clock displays in 12 or 24 hours. And I talked to the folks at MFJ today, and it's already on the truck headed your way. So congratulations. Thanks for playing along with that. I've got another question for next week, and this is something that Bob and I talked about earlier. You know, Randy was talking about resistors this week, and that wasn't planned as part of this. It's just kind of a coincidence. I need to know what value, you can't see it, can you? What value is this resistor? I think that's a little too easy. I've got a photo here from Bob. There you go. What's the value of that resistor? You see there's color bands on it. Depending on which way you start counting as to what colors it is, I want to know about that resistor right there. What is the value of it, and what else can you tell me about it? Now, if that one's a little too hard for you, I got one other right here. You can tell me what the value of this one is. This one, well, you can see it has a silver and a blue and a gray and a brown on it. I'm not going to tell you the order they're in, or I'd probably give it away. But tell me what the value of this resistor or the one that we showed in the photo there is. You might win a nice prize from DX Engineering, and this is certainly one that you want. And, you know, what's it going to cost you except a little ciphering to figure out the color code on those resistors there? This is a DX Engineering tote bag. It's heavy-duty canvas, the same kind of canvas that the tower climbing bags are made out of. I love mine. It's great for carrying coax and power cables in to your next field day or outdoor event or any number of things. So send your answer to me. Tell me about that resistor. What do you know about it? HamNationContest@gmail.com. You might be next week's lucky winner. And now I think we've got Don Wilbanks in here, and he needs a shave.
I have a shave. I'm clean shaven today. Hey, did you ever look in the credits of that new, the latest edition of the Gordon West Extra study guide? Dr. Tamitha Scove is in the credits. We'll have video from her coming up a little bit later on. And a certain clean shaven guy is also listed there. So there you go. Harry's. I want to talk to you about Harry's. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. Wasn't Harry's, because Harry's is here to change all that. If you haven't heard of them before, Harry's was started by a couple of really good friends, Jeff and Andy. They were fed up with being overcharged for razors. So they started their own company to give people what they deserve, a great shave at a fair price. The Harry's Shave Set starts at just $15, and that includes everything you need for a clean, close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, and this one is kind of rubberized, and it's textured. This thing feels great in your hand, and you know, your hands are going to be wet when you're doing your razoring anyway, so you're going to like this. Come in a lot of different colors, too. 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. $15. You cannot beat it. I love my Harry stuff. You know, I don't shave with a Harry's blade every day. I kind of treat myself to when I go out to like special occasions, when I want to look really sharp or when I want to just kind of pamper myself, like on a Sunday morning or something. I'll put some Joni Mitchell on, take my shower, get my face all nice and warm and soft and everything. Then when I get out of the shower, I'll shave with the Harry's. Great stuff. I love my Harry's. Love my Harry's. You're going to love it too, because it's close. It's comfortable. It makes me feel great. I look good. And I'm saving money because I'm not spending an arm and a leg on those expensive razors from the Walmart that you got to get from behind the plexiglass cage. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try the shave set for free. All you got to do is cover shipping when you sign up. That's right. Start your free trial today. Harry's.com/HamNation. Harry's.com/HamNation. And they've got a whole lot more than just razors, too. You know, they've got the shave. They've got your shaving cream. They've got the gel. They've got the post-shave balm that I have here in my hand. This stuff is so nice. And they have the aftershave lotion that they have right here. But probably the coolest thing that they have, and this is really neat, this is daily face wash, cooling peppermint and eucalyptus, and it exfoliates. It's got like, I don't know, it's like walnut shells or something in it. But man, you do a little bit of this right here, and it takes all the oil. There's my camera. Takes all the oil off my face and makes me, oh man, I'd eat it if I thought I could get away with it. Good stuff, Harry's. You're going to love it. Harry's.com/HamNation. And it tells you right here on the back of these things. It's funny. It's not edible. Don't eat it. So don't eat your Harry's stuff. put it on your face, not in your face. Harry's.com/HamNation. Harry's.com/HamNation. A great product, an excellent price, an excellent value. And of all the email and stuff that I get about the products that we talk about here, or that I specifically talk about on Ham Nation, that's number one. Go figure. Nothing radio related. Because I believe in it. It's good stuff. I also believe in Amateur Radio Newsline. And let's take a look at the news of the week, shall we? From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2057, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, April 5th, 2017. We take them for granted now, but digital sound card modes have revolutionized the amateur radio hobby.
Amateur radio operators have been on the cutting edge of technology since the beginning of the hobby. They pioneered single sideband transmission and satellite communications. Now the computer's playing a vital role in emergency communications. And recently, the Indiana Elmer Network, under the umbrella of the Laurel Amateur Radio Club, sponsored a workshop and demonstration of the various digital sound card modes. Bob Burns, W9BU, is one of the presenters and says the technology uses the sound card and a computer to send data over the airwaves.
If you are in an auxiliary communication situation where you need to move a large amount of data and you want that data to be accurate, most of the sound card modes are fairly narrow in bandwidth, narrower than a single sideband signal, let's say. You can pack more signals into a given amount of spectrum.
One scenario for using the digital mode would be a hospital receiving a large amount of patients. and the facility is running low on supplies.
The hospital folks put together a list of things that they need. You could send that information using voice and take a lot of time and maybe have trouble getting things spelled correctly. Or you could use these sound card digital modes to send it as a piece of data. Then you don't have to worry about the spelling and everything gets through accurately and in a minimum amount of time.
What new technologies will come forth in the coming years remains to be seen, but you can bet if it involves communications, amateur radio operators will have a hand in it. Reporting for Amateur News Weekly, this is John Bartholomew, KD9ECH.
A big thanks to our colleagues at Amateur News Weekly. Now, here's a look at what's on the agenda for radio scouting.
This week in radio scouting, we have one activation of the K2BSA call sign, radio merit badge numbers are in, and we're moving into 7 months out for Jamboree on the air. Lawrence Gale, K9EYZ, will be the control operator for the K2BSA Portable 5 station at the Jamboree Shakedown Campout at Camp Teac in Wiggins, Mississippi, from April 7th to April 9th. Troop 4125 will be preparing for this summer's great adventure at the National Jamboree. Hopefully other councils having these shakedown campouts leading up to the event will consider activating amateur radio stations. The Boy Scouts of America have released rankings and numbers for all the merit badges earned during 2016. From the Byron on Scouting blog, the radio merit badge came in 74 with 6,442 badges earned during 2016. A big thanks goes out to all of our radio scouters involved in making this happen throughout the year. This year, we expect to see a bump in numbers with the roughly 300-plus scouts going through the program at the National Jamboree this summer. As we move into April, we're only 7 months out for Jamboree on the Air. A lot of clubs are starting to plan field day operations. Consider inviting your local council, district, or troop out to your event. Remember, the Get on the Air station is free and receives bonus points for each 20 QSOs made by the same guest operator. What a great opportunity to get scouts involved with your club. For more information on K2BSA and radio scouting, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And another reminder that the nominating period for the 2017 Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year Award is open through May 31st. You can find the nominating form on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. We'll present the award at the Huntsville, Alabama Ham Fest in August. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With John Bartholomew, KD9ECH, Bill Stearns, NE4RD, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
If you think the sun was going to sleep, well, think again. It gave us a huge April Fool's prank by giving us 7 big flares and even a small solar storm. Those stories and more in the news this week. Solar activity has been extremely high this week. We've been watching a couple big sunspots that have rotated into Earth view kind of half lazily because we're expecting that it's, you know, we're getting down to solar minimum, so what could possibly happen? And then April 1st, blammo, region 2644 sent us an M-class flare, and that woke us up a bit. And then over the next 48 hours, blam, bam, bam, this thing kept firing off 7 M-class flares in total before this thing was rotated to the backside of the sun. It also fired off a few gorgeous solar storms that have gone west of Earth. But we also have region 2645 we're keeping our eye on. That thing has also done some sympathetic eruptions and some sympathetic flares. It actually has launched some trash that's been a little bit earthward. We're kind of bumping up to storm levels just for short durations and then back down again. That may continue over the next day or two. We've also got a small remnant of a coronal hole that we're dealing with, so some fast wind there. All of this is making kind of unsettled conditions and kind of unpredictable conditions for the next couple days before things begin to settle down. Switching to our M-flare threat meter, you can see we've been reasonably quiet. We had a little C-class activity back in the late part of March, but then things died back down. And then all of a sudden, you can see it, April 1st, blammo! Look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. five, six, seven M-class flares, all in the span of about 48 hours until that region 2644 rotated around the backside. You can actually watch that flux level begin to dip back down as the brightness kind of got occulted by the actual limb of the sun. And now we're just dealing with region 2645, which has yet to fire off a big M-class flare, but there's still a chance, at least over the next couple days. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see things were pretty quiet until the end of March when, bam, we got hit by this solar storm. This was some fast wind from a big coronal hole, and things just kept going and storming for days on end. You can see we continued storming through the early part of April before things started dying down. And then as soon as things died down the 1st of April, you poor amateur radio operators, you got hit with these radio blackouts from the M-class flares. It just went on and on and on. So you poor things, you've been dealing with either solar storm conditions or radio blackouts for basically the past 2 weeks. Luckily, things are beginning to finally quiet down, and you can get back on the bands and go, whew. Switching to our solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, because of all of the activity that we've seen on the sun, with all the solar storms that are being fired off, not Earth-directed, but with just a little bit of stuff that's kind of coming off and glancing, hitting us, a little bit of fast wind tossed in there, it's kind of like a big Caesar salad that's just kind of being thrown at us. We're really expecting unsettled conditions. I mean, it's almost anything's a go. NOAA's given us about a 20% chance of minor storm conditions at high latitudes, probably over the next few days or so before things calm down just at least a little bit. At mid-latitudes, again, unsettled conditions, a possibility of aurora, about a 20% chance of active conditions down at mid-latitudes, and then things quiet down a little bit. But pretty much about a week from now, we're probably going to ramp things back up again with some more fast wind from another coronal hole. Switching to our solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, we are still at risk for M-class flares. NOAA's giving us about a 35% chance of an M-class flare, which is diminishing over the next few days due to regions 2644, which is on the backside now, but just barely, and 2645. Now, that means we do have a chance for ham radio blackouts, so that is still a possibility. The only nice thing that we have is that all of this activity has increased the solar flux levels, so you amateur radio operators should also be able to enjoy a little bit better propagation now that things have kind of quieted down and you're not getting radio blackouts. However, because these regions are on the west limb, we do have an increased chance of radiation storms. They haven't fired anything like that at us yet, so probably not going to see it, but NOAA's giving us about a 20% chance of a radiation storm, which again decreases over the next few days to pretty much nothing by the end of the week. So for those of you who thought we were already at solar minimum, the sun goes, gotcha. But that's okay. It's normal for the sun to have a few hot spots on its way to solar minimum. It's kind of like the kid who you already tuck in bed, then gets up and asks mommy and daddy for a glass of water before they go to sleep. Don't worry, the sun will go to sleep. Meanwhile, those regions, they'll take about 14 days to rotate back into Earth view. We'll see if they survive their backside transit. Most likely they'll be quiet, but you never know. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Always good stuff from our good Dr. T. She's going to be at Dayton this year, too. Are you going to be at Dayton? Have you got your Dayton ticket yet? Yeah, mine came in the mail. Look at that.
I'm ready.
And when you go to Dayton, of course, you got to be styling. Now, I can't help you with a Weekend Geek radio show T-shirt, but I can help you with a Ham Nation T-shirt. That's right. Ham Nation gear is now. Look at that. I spotted that at a Ham Fest. Ham Nation gear is available in the Twitch store. Yeah, there's a Twitch store. They've got T-shirts, long sleeve, red, blue, yellow, and black. There's also items for other shows and Twit gear like hats and mugs. But, of course, you want a Ham Nation shirt, right? Twit.tv/store. Twit.tv/store is where you want to be for that. And, man, he was looking sharp over there, too, at the Rain Ham Fest, wasn't he? You know, you can get DX Engineering shirts, too. And they've got these great shirts at DX Engineering that are like that performance knit stuff, almost like a, I don't know, like a racing team kind of a shirt. Because, well, you know, they got hot car stuff over there, too. Well, as the weather gets warmer, perfect time to head outside for some portable operation in your nice, cool performance knit DX Engineering shirt. Some of the more popular portable transceivers, because you're going to look sharp, you may as well have a nice radio. Available now at dxengineering.com, include Yaesu's All-Mode FT891. It has a large, easy-to-read screen, so it's perfect for field ops, like field day, that's coming up, features a high-speed 32-bit DSP, gives you effective and optimized QRM rejection. 100 watts of transmit juice means you don't got to lug a separate amp into the field. The radio's rugged, has the detachable faceplate. It's easy to install into a go kit or a travel case. And the FT891 from Yaesu also boasts a USB cable, which makes it easy to connect to a PC or a laptop for full rig control via your serial port. Equally at home in a base or portable setup from Kenwood is the TS480SAT. Gives you 160 through 6 meters in a compact package. It bundles an HF transceiver with an antenna tuner to create a robust portable package. The built-in antenna tuner lets you widen the usable HF bandwidth of resonant verticals, dipoles, and HF verticals, giving you tons of options in the field. Of course, it's 100 watts. It's compatible with PSK31, sideband, CW, FSK, FM, and AM modes. And it also has a detachable faceplate, has a built-in speaker to open up installation options. If you're an ICOM man, well, build a portable rig around ICOM's IC7100. It's an excellent choice. The 7100 is an HF, VHF, UHF, D-Star capable radio. All modes include sideband, RIDI, CW, AM, and FM. It will also receive wide FM. And using D-Star, the radio can operate digital voice and data on VHF and UHF. 7100 gives you 100 watts from 160 through 6, 50 watts on 2 meters, up to 35 watts on 70 centimeters. And the neatest feature may be this touch screen display. It's intuitive. The numbers are easy to read. The buttons are large. It's perfect for big, fat fingers. And for 10-meter monoband operation, there's Elinco's DR03T. Let's say you're just a tech. Well, you've got 10-meter privileges. If you're a tech, this is the one for you. 10 watts of transmit power with a rugged, compact chassis. It's perfect for field use. A great way for newly licensed hams to get on HF. And the DR03T works in both wide and narrow FM modes. Has a power-off memory, so you're not always resetting modes every time you power the radio on. And you know DX Engineering gets stuff to you faster than anybody else in the industry. If you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, and if it's in stock, it will be on a truck headed your way, and it'll be on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. So I want you to go online and shop 24/7, 365. You can also request a catalog so you can have it right there in your grubby little fingers 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. A huge supporter of Ham Nation since almost day one. And, man, we do appreciate them, Bob. Good people over there at Talmadge, Ohio. It's going to be so good to see Tim Duffy and all those guys, too, at Dayton. They're the ones, I think, that are bringing in Dr. T. So a big thanks to Tim Duffy for that. Bob?
And Dr. T will be with us Wednesday night, couple of days before it starts. Valerie and I have done this for a couple of years. We actually bring you Ham Nation from Contest University room. And this year, Tamitha's going to be with us, and we're very excited about that. So we'll have more about that. We've got a lot of stuff coming up for Dayton, getting all this stuff together. I just have to read you. I have got a stack of email. I printed them off, but a couple of really sweet ones. One's from Bill Brower. He doesn't have a call yet. And he says, I'm a new 67-year-old ham, having just taken my technician and general class exams, passed them all on the same day. He's so thrilled. And he did it because he was watching Ham Nation, and he's watching Amateur Logic and Ham College and all of this stuff that we do, and we wonder, why do we do it? This is why we do it. George, he needs to know when he can see Ham College, and we'll get into that. I'll write him back, too, but you might want to answer that in a little bit if we have you back on, but for the end of the show. Here's another one from David up in Canada. He's built a 40-meter 6V6 rig, and he's loving everything. Here's another one. Love the concept, and he wants a brief tutorial. We're going to do that, Tim. Each one of these letters that I get, they all want the same thing at the end. We will have a full we're going to have one of them tonight, a parts list. And we will have schematics, and we're kind of looking around. We'll probably do a website or some kind of a posting where you can go to and all that. It's amazing what's happening. I'm so thrilled because people are learning. I've already gotten several guys with the pictures. They went ahead and built the thing. And I'm amazed because they did it on just that beginning little couple of seconds. I showed the transmitter, but they knew enough to go ahead. One of the things that I wanted to cover, and wouldn't you know, Kevin, one of our net controllers and very involved to get the Dayton thing together, sent me a picture of his RF sampler. And I appreciate that, because what I would want to talk about is what's inside. Now, don't take this wrong. I'm doing this. We're all going to learn something here, Kevin. You did a great job with all of that. However, we have to talk about what's going on with the leads. You notice all these leads are real long. See that? Well, one of the things that I had on my list to talk about tonight, I want to start covering some of these things, is what we do when we put things together. What I'm talking about there are things like this. When we do the parts on, anywhere, wherever we're going to mount the parts, there's one thing you can do to it right there, but you don't want to do that. The reason is you've got all of that lead link sticking out there, and it could short somewhere else. You want to get rid of that. And when you go to mount parts on the pine board or anything else, what you want to do is pull that up close. I like to take and double them back so they have a little bit more hold when you go to solder them. And that's so important to shorten those leads. Then when you go to solder these little boogers, they're going to have not only the soldering to hold them, but we can make good connections with that little. There we go. And you also want to learn: we do not paint with solder. You hold it on there until both pieces are at the same temperature, and solder will then take hold. A lot of times I see YouTubes where people paint. They just make it, brush it over and make it look good. No, you don't do that. As you saw there, I held that on there until it flowed. Then you cut that off. And this is very important. And especially if you're building anything that has any RF components. Oh, buddy, that's not good at all. Because you got all these strange lead links and you don't want to do that. So I just wanted to point that out, but you did a great job other than that. And it probably works fine and you'll be okay for that. But as we see here, you want to be able to go into the whatever we're doing with it. You want to make those as short as possible. And the components like so, wrap it around, solder it so both of them are at the same temperature. That's very important. And that way you won't have any problems with loose connections and so on. And when you get done, you want to jiggle that around and make sure it's good. And, you know you're going to go back and really make things happen. Well, tonight we're going to show you a couple of things. Now, don't get ahead on this deal, but I have some wonderful drawings. We are working on the power supply. We are working on the power supply. And I want you to know that we have had some great help from Gene. Gene is something else. Look at this program he's done for us. And all of the parts are listed. I'll leave that up there. These are the parts that you will need for the power supply. We're going to take this step at a time. And this is the first one. Now, we've covered it a couple of times, but I want to make sure, because if you're up and alert, those resistors have changed. Why did they change? I told you a couple weeks ago when we built this, those would probably change. Why? Because we didn't know what the load was going to be when we put it all together. Well, in a minute, you'll see why I know that, because I have it all built in, I know. So we're going to change those two dropping resistors to 1K. I'm using, I think, 1 or 2 watts. And look at this. Gene, you're something else. This is really pretty stuff. And did you get it all? Yeah. Looking back at my monitor here. And there you go. And take screenshots of this. And this is for you guys and gals. We're going to have this up. I'll put it up. I'll know next week where we're going with it and what we're going to do. Worst case, I'll stick it on a page in Ohio Sound. But I'm hoping we'll get our own if we can get it going. Anyway, while I'm badgering on here, there you go. And that's how it's set up. And this is the power supply. And that's all we want to talk about right now. I want you all to really concentrate and get that power supply going, because here's what's coming next. Over the week, I built the whole shebang, all of it, and I am waiting for my crystals from Bree. There we go there. So we should have all of this ready to go next week. As far as the transmitter, but we're not going to talk about that. We're only talking about the power supply. Now, of interest, I want you to notice something. This is the old man in me. You guys are probably going to use bread ties or wire clips. Nope. I didn't do that. I used waxed string. This is what we did in the old days, and you can still get it. It's a wax string, and I laced all the cabling between all of it. And I'm going to give you a short little video or shot here of the whole works. But again, don't get ahead. We want to take this a step at a time. Next week, we will cover the preamp. And at the end here, I'm going to be able to even turn it on and let you hear it perhaps. But anyway, everything is working fine. We're very excited, very happy. I get that crystal going. We'll really be able to go. But I want you to center on that. The next thing we're going to do will be the preamp. And the preamp is it really works great. Let me see here. Where are we at? Okay. Let me turn this on and plug this in. And what we're going to do, I'm just teasing you here, I know. I'm going to let you hear the preamp. And I have to tell you, I was blown away. I didn't think it would be this good. You do stuff like this, and you're like, is it going to hum? Is it going to do this or that? No, it didn't. And I was amazed. So what we're going to do, we're going to take, and I did this a little differently maybe than most in that you don't really have to have these jacks. However, I have plans down the line. I have plans that we're going to use this preamp for a lot of other things. I got all kinds of ideas for that. But here we go. And we're going to do that. Now, remember, keep in mind, we're dealing with some, high voltage. So watch where you put your fingers. And we're going to plug this in, and this has got all my my buddies on 75. I'm using a chicken head knob. How many people? That would be well, you already see it. It's called a chicken head. Back in the 50s, we had a lot of gear, and they used chicken head knobs. That's one of them, and I got one, and it's red.
But there you go. Let me crank up the level a little bit, and we should be able to hear something going over there. There we go. That's coming through the preamp, just to prove to you. There we go. And it works really good, and it sounds great. I'm really, really impressed. And I honestly have to tell you, I didn't think it would be that good. I finished that preamp back at the plant last week. You know, we spent a week there. And my guys working in our plant, they were blown away. Now, you're talking about guys that are, they've never seen a tube, really. And so we had a lot of fun because they just went crazy. And like me, they were impressed how good it sounded. So I didn't say it was going to sound terrible, but I didn't think it would be this high quality. It's really good. But pay attention to the lacing. That was cool. And again, we want to center on those parts. I'll show them one more time. These are the parts that you want to go find. If you don't have it and you don't have your power supply finished yet, please do, because that's what we want to settle on. Take a screenshot of that. Pick up your iPhone and take a picture of it. And I'll post this somewhere. Dan might have it in the show notes too, come think of it. So that's what's going to happen there. And keep in mind, this is where you buy the parts. They're all available. And I've had a lot of my friends say, oh, you can get the parts. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Radio Days, Antique Electronic Supply, big round them all. I got the tubes from Vacuum Tubes. I like dealing with him. And the crystals, AF4K. Got all the crystals you need. My crystals will be here tomorrow, when you know. But we're not going to get into that till we get it all ready to go. But I wanted to show you how it's going to all be working. There it is, right there. That's the whole project. And that this morning, my friend that gave me the whole, I guess, inspiration for this, W0BVT, he had it on the air yesterday running a watt and a half. He's 200 miles from me or so. But notice we got cathode current, and we're rocking and rolling. We'll take this and plug her into here, and we could have audio. But I don't have a crystal. And I didn't show you this part. We got to have this part over here. This is where you will tune and load, and we'll have to learn about that. But that's way down the line. This ain't going to happen in a week, because we have a lot to do to build this preamp. I know I'm making you all dizzy, but I want you to see how it goes. It's the only way I know to do it. And so that's where we are. And let's see. In closing, if you've never seen or knew about how to lace a cable, it's been done for years, decades and decades and decades. Here is my 1957 original call book, and it's all of this is in the new ones too. But there's a whole page on the right way and the wrong way. Wait a minute, get over to the right page, Kyle. There's a right and a wrong way to do that cable. If you want to really do a vintage build, there you are. I've even done in years past with thin wire, like a number 26 gauge wire with, you know, a rubber jacket on it. I've laced cable with that. So there you go. Talk about fun. It's great fun. Sorry to not be able to give you all of it at one time, but I can't. I don't want to. I want you to do this in sections, and we're going to have fun once we get on down the line with it. But we'll talk more next week about, I got some really good diaphragms that Gene did on the preamp. Gene, thank you so much. He already went and built all of it. I'll show you pictures next week. He makes this look like Tinker Toy. Beautiful, beautiful job he did. And I'm just throwing it together. And there again, I don't have a lot of time to do, but we'll make it happen. So we'll see you next week. And I guess from here, we're going to go find out what Dale's got cooking for the 300th show and beyond. Hi.
Oh. Okay, Bob, we've got a big announcement tonight. A lot of work by a committee that has come up with something that everyone out there is really going to enjoy. It'll be more fun than the bicentennial event. And we put together a presentation to lay out it, lay out the story in a detailed fashion to tell you the rules and regulations and what you can win and the whole bit. So if Brian's ready, we'll go ahead and roll the video now.
It's the question of the hour. If you've been on social media during the past few weeks, you may have noticed a new hashtag, #HamNation300. Why would the world be listening? Why is it cool? How will you do? What will you survive? Well, it's an on-air celebration for starters here. The 300th Ham Nation episode will be broadcast on May 17th. The Ham Nation 300 on-air event begins May 25th. That's UTC. And the on-air event will run through June 1st. Again, Zulu time. But what's in it for you? Well, to start with, there's three certificates. The basic certificate you will earn if you work six of the nine one-by-one special event stations, or you may substitute one show host contact for one of the five, one of the one-by-one stations. Plus, there's a new digital mode certificate for technicians that we've created this year. What are the special event stations? Who are these people? Well, there's Amanda from the chat room, Val from the DX report, Don from, well, just Don, plus the net controls who manage the after show nets every Wednesday evening. There's Kevin and Dale from 40 meters, Steve from up on 20 meters, Eric, he's the king of Jersey, and look who's back, Al, K1LTJ. And Mike, WT6H, those are the guys that started all the net control activity and the post-show nets more than 5 years ago. You can also work the show host. Bob will be on the air along with Gordo and Randy and George. They'll all four be operating during the event. Then for the technician class operators and those generals possibly that only have one radio, maybe it's a handy talkie, there's the net control operators from the digital modes, and here they are. There's the D-Star mode operators and the DMR operators. Plus, there'll be activity on EchoLink all during the event, and even on Fusion, thanks to Gordo, WB6NOA. But you must follow the rules if you want to earn a certificate, and here they are. The event runs from 0300 Zulu, May 25th, to 0500 Zulu, June 1st. That 0300 Zulu should be just about at the completion of the Ham Nation broadcast that night. All bands, all modes may be used, any one-by-one or host may be contacted anytime during the event. One-by-one stations and hosts will operate at random. Operators will tweet and they'll post on the Ham Nation on TWIT Facebook page when they're operating. They'll also use the spotting network to help you out. Working a minimum of six of the nine one-by-one stations will earn you the basic certificate, or you may substitute one host contact for one one-by-one call sign. If you work all nine one-by-one call signs, you'll earn a clean sweep certificate. And also, there's commemorative special event QSL cards available. Remember now, an SASE will be required to receive a QSL card. You send your card to the operators with your SASE, and you'll get one of the commemorative cards back. This holds true for both the one-by-one call signs and for the show host. Technicians can earn a digital certificate. That's special this year. We've created it for the technicians to give them a chance to participate. It could also be sought by anyone that has possibly only a VHF or UHF radio. To get that certificate, all you need to do is complete two contacts on the digital modes in any of the four digital modes. But that's not all. There's much more. The operating event's going to be a great sporting event, but tonight we're introducing the Ham Nation Challenge. That challenge runs all summer long, and you can earn one of three certificates. There's 750 points that you may earn in the challenge. They run from simple tasks to some very difficult tasks. And as a bonus, the top three scoring hams appear on Ham Nation. Here's the breakdown. 300 to 499 points out of that 750 will get you a bronze certificate. 500 to 599 points will earn you a silver certificate. And if you're going for gold, you need to earn 600 to 750 points. Some of the simple tasks range from things like submitting a chat room question for Amanda, or possibly sending in a video for the video segment here, or a shack photo for Show Me Your Shack. The big points, though, come from the difficult tasks, things like completing your WAS or your DXCC, or studying and becoming a volunteer examiner, or upgrading your license. Well, here's the breakdown. We won't go into all of the details, but we'll show you the number of points for a task, the number of times that particular task may be entered in the competition and challenge, and the total number of points available from the task. Things like submitting a chat room question will get you 10 points. You can do that two times. Participate in a contest, you can do that two times too, and you can get 50 points right there. That's 70. You're on your way. You can participate in a public service event. That'll earn you 25. 50 points will happen if you obtain a new technician license, or you upgrade your present license to a higher level, or if you become a volunteer examiner, you can get 25 points. If you work each one-by-one call sign during the on-air event, you can get 10 points. You work all nine, you'll get 90. Same goes with the host from the Ham Nation show itself. There are four of them. You get 10 points. You work all four, you'll get 40 points. And it goes on down the list. One of the ones we didn't mention earlier, though, one of the fun ones you could do, if you submit a selfie with one of the Ham Nation hosts, you can get, I believe it's 10 points. And if you submit a selfie with a project you're working on that's ham radio related, and you put the hashtag #HamNation300 on it, you'll get 10 points for that. A lot of fun. Got a tiebreaker, too, in case we wind up with two people with the same number of points in the gold reigning. And that would be a selfie with Dr. Tamitha Scove. So tune in. It's going to be a lot of fun. And remember now, all Ham Nation 300 certificates are computer-generated. They'll come from a collation of the logs that are sent in from the operators, that's the one-by-one guys and the Ham Nation hosts. Certificates are available online as soon as the operator becomes eligible in the database. And once you're eligible and it's there, you can download your certificate. A lot of people print it at home, but better yet, hey, take it to a local self-service photo center where you can get an outstanding frameable certificate. Glossy and really looking good. That's what we most of us did last year, and that's a fantastic deal. Well, that's it. That's Ham Nation 300 defined. It's an exciting on-air event, plus a tremendous challenge in the spirit of Ham Nation. that will keep you busy all summer long.
Okay, hashtag Ham Nation 300. Okay, so that's it. That's what all the secret's been about. That's what the hashtag's been about. That's why Don and I have been having fun on the social media outlets promoting the activity. We hope you'll really get into it. Another tip here, if you would, when you see one of those hashtag Ham Nation 300 tags, if you would on Facebook share that post, or if you're on Twitter, retweet, and we're going to see if we can trend Ham Nation 300. And that's it for tonight. So I think we better get it out to Amanda and check things out. Do remember, we'd like to display your videos here and your Shaq photos, so submit them to Ham Nation Videos at twit.tv. Address is at the bottom of your screen now. Right now, let's check it out with Amanda and find out what's going on in the chat room. Take it away, Amanda.
Hey, thank you, Dale. And just a couple of things. Yep, a lot of your show hosts actually have been putting this on their Facebook pages, on Twitter, and we are on a social media frenzy, that's for sure. Guess what? Did you know that some of the extra points that you can get for the challenge, the 300 challenge, is following us on Facebook, following us on Twitter, and getting selfies with us at your Ham Fest. So if you see any of your hosts out there, be sure to jump in, ask them for a selfie. So other than that, okay, let's get to the questions here. Bob, this question's for you. Skeeter Nash in 5ASH says, is there a Heil mic that will work with a Heathkit HW101?
That one right there. The one I had into the preamp. It's the HM12. It works great on all that kind of stuff. The only trick on some of these things, you might have to put our little transformer in there. But I've had luck with it just as it is. You're going to have to make up your own cable because we don't do any of this anymore. But that's easy. Just cut off one and get the cable for like a Kenwood or whatever. Cut that end off, and you only need the shield and the white mic line, and that's it. It works great. HM12, and it's really inexpensive. Works wonderful.
Very good. Well, that's the only question I had for tonight. I wasn't sure how long we were going to go. We did go a little over time. I'm going to do the net announcements next, and I'm not going to miss any this week. I apologize to the DMR folks out there. I did miss you last week, but I will make them all. Okay, the 20-meter net. We've got that going on 14268. 40 meters. It looks like look on around 7192. Echolink, Dewdrop In, D-Star 14 Charlie, and DMR, TAC 311. Sorry, you guys, that I missed you last week. Lots of nets out there, and pretty soon you can start making some points for them. So get out there, get on those nets, thank your net hosts, because they do a hard job every week taking all your check-ins and being patient and working out those doubles and everything else. It's a lot of work. And we soon hope to have some of them on the show to feature the Ham Nation 300 Challenge. So look forward to meeting them. And you guys get to all see their ugly mugs out there. Other than that, Bob, that's all I have. Thanks, Dale, for the video. We appreciate that. And Ham Nation 300, you guys, have fun with it. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, thank you very much, Amanda. We're looking forward to all of the excitement to date. And I'm really glad we finally got a booth. They didn't... we weren't sure we were going to get one because they're very short on booths this year. The show is much smaller than we all remember Dayton, and a lot of the places that had large displays won't have large displays. They'll be there, but not in the way that they were. So anyway, we're going to see 5305. Yeah, 5305 in the fifth building. Is where the Ham Nation and Newsline, we're putting Newsline and Ham Nation together this year in a booth. So all these wonderful volunteers will be able to see each other and make schedules, and it'll be great.
Hey, Bob, can
Until
I ask
next
you a question
week,
about that?
I will continue on. Thanks for everything. Uh-oh, do you say, go ahead. What did you say?
Oh, you say my something, question Amanda? Is, yep. You said volunteers. Is there a place where the volunteers can get a hold of someone to volunteer, or do you have all your volunteers for Dayton?
I don't know. You'll have to. We'll pose that question next week.
Okay.
And see if it's going to be some, and we'll make a list and get that going again. Because I couldn't do it, or we didn't have a booth, so I was like, why worry about it? But now we do. So
okay.
If do that, that'll be great. So I have cards to give out and all the information. Good deal. Well, thanks everybody. It's been fun. I hope we all enjoyed Dr. T. Oh my gosh, she has great information. And now you know about the 300th, and you know how to put a mobile antenna on a car, thanks to Gordo and all that. Randy taught you how to build a dummy load. Cool stuff. So we'll talk to you next week right here at the same time. And till then, get on the air and have fun. Just get on the air. We'll all be there for somewhere, that's for sure. So long for now, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.